I thank you for joining an abbreviated version of Horse Racing True Crime as my hard drive burned out. It's making so much money. It burned out, and you always have to have plans. There's no excuses, right? Winners win, losers lose. There's no excuses. The old thing you used to tell us in high school, right? Excuses are like a-holes, right? Everybody has them, everybody uses them. We don't use them around here. So what we're going to do is we're going to do it on our phone. And it's a spoils of success. Because of the podcast, I get a significant discount with the biggest company in the history of mankind. Right? I'll let you figure out who it is. And I want to make sure my T's are crossed, I's are dotted, because there are no excuses. If something does not go my way, it is my fault. I'm responsible for everything good and bad that happens in my life. And really, that's what the podcast is about. That's what Horse Racing True Crime is about. And it's always a business meeting. I hated meetings. The worst meeting I ever went to, and one of the funniest ones, was I was dispatching trucks at AAA in Florida. God's job, really. And we got paid triple and $100 cash bonus. You can't do that anymore, right? You give them something more than $25. The world, I've seen so many fights and so much drama over giving somebody over $25 gift, get in a sack, blah, blah, blah. We got $100 cash to everybody. And we were, why are we here on a Saturday morning? In the assistant manager of the whole place at AAA said, we're here because I have an announcement to make that I'm gay. And you could hear this huge groan over the crowd. This big black girl, about 300 pounds. She's like, we all knew you were gay. I can't believe you dragged us out of bed, paid us all this money to tell us something we already know. So from then on, 80% of the meetings I've been have been a complete use waste of time. So every single meeting has to have a purpose, a clearly defined purpose, and an outcome you track. So the purpose is threefold: to eliminate and mitigate mistakes made in true crime podcast. The biggest one is not telling the whole story. And I understand everything's fragmented. CNN tells you 50% of the truth. Fox tells you 50%. Right? Or a little less. Neither, because it's TV, give you a complete formula. New York Times, LA Times has changed. Washington Post, a little, right? All of those papers used to have major conservative columnists and major liberal columnists. Now you have four liberals and maybe one conservative, maybe one independent. Washington Examiner has zero liberal columnists. Buckley, right? I forgot his magazine. It's fairly conservative, but he would surprise you with a commentary on the left. But it was well thought out. It was well researched. Mm-hmm. So every single podcast is well thought out, well researched. It's designed to have a long shelf life. You can listen to it 3 years from now and get something important. Everything my person EC and I talk about here is things that we have monetized. So to that end, as we start the beginning year of the podcast, what we do is we're defining, remember, things change, right? We on the episode notes, we go what facts are, what evidence is. We go through everything in detail, right? So you get a full picture and you can use it as reference. I have two master's degrees in business. I have really high-end clients, but the ones that I have, they're 50 million, 20 million, I'm blessed because not only do they just have a lot of money, they're also very thoughtful and they continue independent study and they have unlimited resources to learn and grow. I'm lucky that I'm around that, right? So I learn and grow myself because you never stop learning because life never stops teaching. And the facts change. So we can catch that evolution, see the pattern. Why? To get ahead of it. So that's why we're 500% NBA. Not NBA. NBA was not as good. However, we did make a profit in the NBA Finals. Football, 500% ROI. College basketball, almost 600% ROI. What does that mean? You made five times to six times more money than what you started with, but using business and finance maxims, structure, are things I've learned to make money. So I filtered it out. That's why listening to this podcast, you will get an MBA that's more valuable than what you're getting from Warren, because Warren does not give them real live monetization strategy. It's broad, and they're teaching you how to learn, which is important. And they teach you history, because if you don't learn history, you're going to be doomed to repeat it, or you can anticipate some of the other person repeating it, and you betting it ahead of time, right? Like Bob Baffert repeated spiking horses. We got ahead of it, and we made money with the Dean of Spirit and the Kentucky Derby. So we're not only teaching you concepts, but long steps, like we're teaching you practical information and strategies to make money today. Give a man a fish, feed him for a day. Teach the man a fish. You feed him for a lifetime. Salesmen, I'm getting into sports betting mode. Salesmen think short term. Businessmen and women think long term. Higher level thinking is long term thinking. And some classic examples. Classic example. The podcast we did before, last one, the one before, about short term thinking mayor, who this week was crying about a podcast somebody did. It's funny, when I need to go to the city council meeting and the mayor's talking about you, right? I'm not even an elected official. I'm just a regular citizen like everybody else. But he's crying about the podcast where he was exposed, where he's being exposed in social media, and he has to respond. $150,000. Well, he's supposed to be Christian, so let's take him out of his. He's some sort of Christian. Says the Bible, right? That what is the man if he gets the whole world if he loses his soul? I'm not going to lose my soul for $150,000. You know what it says? What's done in the darkness was to come to the light. That's my job, to put things in the light like that. You know, and he's crying, right? Because it's short-term thinking. He was thinking about those $150,000. He didn't understand the long-term repercussions, because it's taxpayer's money. It isn't $150,000 you got from Walmart. He got it from you because you're a taxpayer and you have to pay tax. So there's consequence for short-term thinking, right? Yeah. Now, in this podcast, we're going to focus on veterinarians in the indictment. Next week, this is an abbreviated podcast. Next week, we're going to go in-depth to the veterinarians. Because we know the trainers are supposed to love the horse. We know the jockeys are supposed to love the horse. The owners love the horse. And we know they're lying, right? With Saeed, one of the Kentucky Derby, it says, I did this all for you. I'm like, why? I do it for you, man. You bought the horse. Tomorrow's not promised to you. You could die. I do it for you. You don't know me. Because it's all BS, right? But Boyd says, I'm doing it for you. It's all BS. Not veterinarians are off. And now we're going to go through a macro. We're going to compare what's wrong with the human health care system and compare it to what is wrong with veterinarians and the horse racing industry. And then we're going to get into specifics, tell you the whole picture next week with veterinarians and the indictment. Now, if you are the smartest, toughest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. And Coach Mike, I was floored. I went to these two city councilmen had a what they call pop-up city hall to go talk to people. One of the guys, Robert Picanio, professed Christian. I asked him a question, such cursing in public. What kind of a Christian does that? I don't know. Maybe I'm getting too old, but when I was growing up as a kid, people who were professing Christianity in public or in a public service pitch were not cursing all the time. But I don't know. Maybe I don't know. That's all whatever. Weird. But one thing floored me. I said, because he is as dumb as a box of rocks. But he's a man 15 years in the Marines, 15 years as a cop, right? Mm-hmm. And I said, well, you know, do you have a mentor? Do you have somebody who checks your thinking? Because he was taken aback being in those structured environments that me being as a business owner, mm-hmm. the way you filter people out, it's always good business to be direct, right? Your authentic self, your best self. So I was being my best self. I was being authentic. And I was backing things up with facts, figures, documentation. And it came out that these two guys had out there with Andy, a guy from the community, that we connect on how much that it's not the local political corruption and corruption in the horse race industry. It's not a victimless crime. The bettors are getting killed. And nobody cares because most of them are degenerates. We're going to lose the money anyway. But that's mm-hmm. not the point. Right. That is not the point. Same thing with this as affluent as Lake Forest is. I'm saying 3 to 5 years. A lot of people are coming back to me in 3 years. The city's going to be in the red deficit. No mm-hmm. reason to. 100% affluent, got all the resources in the world, other than selective prosecution and getting away with illegal activity. That's, you know, that's just, we live too long and things are simplified. So I said, do you have a mentor, somebody who checks your thinking? Because he was just, he was bad, right? And with 1 second, he's arguing with me. Next second, he's like asking me for advice or why do you think this way? Why do you think I look like a deer in headlights? And I said, because you look like a deer in a headlight. Because you're already ahead. You haven't prepared. But he said, oh, I should have been prepared before taking the job. I'm like, this is not the Marines or the cops. In the real world, right, you have to be able to do the job before somebody hires. This is not charity. It's supposed to be capitalist. He didn't get that. And I asked him, right? So I think your mom says, pop at you at 50. The people who say they're smartest in the room, they're the dumbest in the room. He said that he doesn't need a mentor, that he knows everything. He's 56 years old and he knows everything. He lives 2 blocks from the freeway on the I-5. And his argument, the people in his financial statement broke corrupt. And I'll forward you that blistering email, and I'll put an email in the episode notes because he's a public servant. All of this public documentation.
Yeah.
Where Dwight Robinson, and this is what I said in the email. Dwight Robinson's main business comes from China. 1,400 acres are owned by China. Chinese Communist Party. And it's going to be a disaster, right? Mm-hmm. All that is going to turn to Section 8 housing because the hardliners, like they always do, are pulling it from China. So this is Dwight Robinson to rig the city council, gave everybody money, like in Carlsbad and Caruso gave everybody. The problem is the Chinese thing. There's Benjamin Yu, and I have a video that keeps people downloading, people going crazy over, where you're on the book of Robert Spalding, General Robert Spalding, the playbook, the plan of Chinese agents in the United States. Finance, real estate, you go to New York, Bellevue, Washington, and Southern California. Benjamin Yu followed that. And then the money laundering, right? He spent $500,000 for a state assembly seat, right? It paid $105,000. Money laundering. So he's money laundering through his campaign. I'm like, you're going to win this campaign. Your next opponent has $6,000 in the campaign bank account. You have $20,000. Why are you asking your mother for $2,000? It's like money laundering. I said, why? You wouldn't do this to your mom, Robert Picanha. But the problem is, I said, as a Marine, I have a lot of friends who are Marines, right? We just connect. And what I've heard my whole life, once a Marine, always. You took an oath to protect the Constitution. Why did you take money to your campaign from a Chinese agent, Benjamin Yu? So your thoughts before we start comparing what we know about the pharmaceutical industry as it goes through horse racing and true crime, because we have veterinarians in that day. I'm being Pentecostal at you. I'm throwing a couple things similar to God, old school similar to God. I'm throwing and saying to you two different things, but they connect. The core of it is corruption that takes money out of your pocket.
Yeah, they do. You know, one of the words I was thinking about when you were speaking, Josh, and that was a pretty good overview. There's a term that we need to vet people, the vetting process. And the phrase that came to mind was, you need to vet the vet. Now that can apply to the veterinarian or to the veteran. But the question is, how many people, and we've been talking about this now for months, how many people actually take the time to A, do any homework, and B, vet whoever they're going to do business with, or they're going to interview, or they're going to interact with. And it's almost like you need to give people permission. I had a client one time, I had to write him a permission slip. I said, dear Josh, you have my permission to fire so-and-so, Coach Mike. And he looked at me like I was joking. I said, well, apparently you don't have the whatever, chutzpah, or you think you're going to get sued or whatever. I said, you can let this person go. They're not performing. I said, run it through HR.
Right.
And what you're talking about, you talk about a doctor, you talk about a veterinarian, you talk about a veteran. When we're talking about people that are professionals, you and I and many of our viewers and listeners have this idea that they really have our best interests at heart. It used to be that way, Josh. I don't know in the last 10, 15 years, I think that's changed. I think a lot of people now have their best interests at heart all the time. And so service is now a curse word. No such thing as customer service anymore. When you see it, you don't even recognize it. Or someone's polite to you. It's like, thank you. You're welcome. So that's what I think. I think you're starting off on this idea of like the motivation for a veterinarian, the motivation for a doctor is to what? The doctor is a Hippocratic oath, right? To
supposed to be.
And the same thing with what you said about the veterinarian.
What's the definition of the Hippocratic oath? What would be is do no harm, right?
Right. Do no harm. In other words, if you can help.
It doesn't mean you're not going to do harm, because we're all going to do harm. It's repeated intentional harm.
That's right. It's almost like the biblical story of the Good Samaritan. People walk by, see someone on the side of the road, they walk by. This guy who's not a doctor, he's just a business guy, says, hey, let me get you patched up. I'll get you a hotel. Stay here a couple of days. Mr. Hotel owner, here's a couple bucks when I come back. If there's anything more, I'll pay for it. That's why he's called the Good Samaritan. And we don't have those anymore, in my humble opinion. We need those. And I think our viewers and listeners are looking for, either they are Good Samaritans or looking for those people that are Good Samaritans.
Right. Right. Now, Robert Picanha, right? He is in over his head. 15 years in the Marines, 15 years at Hickok. And what I told him is, right, speak to that point, right? That we talked about George Navarro. I was like, I felt like he interviewed George Navarro. Do not be wise in your own conceit. When he says, I know everything, I don't know, you know, I don't need a mentor, I know everything, I'm smarter than everybody else.
Yeah.
Obviously, it has the opposite effect on us. The arrogance of this to be, hey, you know a lot about the Marines, you know a lot about police work. However, you need to know research, because there's a lot you don't know. And it's a small world, And in my humble opinion, cops, Marines, if you have a little bit of money, don't do it by yourself. Get Mike Christian easy. Get somebody who's been doing business and learn business. Don't go to another government place, because at that point, it's like you're getting welfare. I know you hate welfare, because most people, Marines and cops, are conservative. So be a true conservative and start a military or police consulting firm, whatever. But you fought for democracy. You put your life on the line for democracy and capitalism. Live it. Take a tiny risk. And it's tiny because this is the richest country in the world. So you can speak to that conceit. Or it could be insecurity. What is it? You met a lot of guys. You know exactly what I'm talking about. They're talking about a guy. And this is a pattern too, right? Because they want camaraderie. And the news is not telling you this, but one of the core problems of what happened in January 6th is looking for love in all the wrong place. You're out. You just finished your military career, your cop career. You want to don't hang out with other cops. Don't want. Find new people to hang out. And it goes back to what your mother said. If Tony wants you to jump the bridge, don't do it. You don't have to do it. If Tony wants you to go to the insurrection, you don't have to go. You can stay home. Because you're going to get a felony, and you're going to be branded for the rest of the life now, because you wanted to be part of a group. He wants to be part of this political group, these people. He wants to find the same camaraderie he had with the Marines and the Orange County Sheriffs.
Yeah. Well, I think the whole January 6th thing is like a lot. It's going to unravel. You're going to find there's a lot of things happening behind the scenes. Like you said, CNN, Fox, MSNBC, you get 30%, 40%. You get 22-second sound bites, and people already have the writing books on that. You and I say, wait. There's a whole lot of history behind this. We're not ready yet. We're still not ready.
Well, I've done research, right? Because the thing about it is I know people. And I've been all over the country and I spoke to different types of people. Nobody, it's the same thing with the Mueller report. I've done the research, and that's why I know this what's going on. Right. The BNI factor to it, right? There was these two people who set up a networking outing, a field trip at the insurrection. And what I see, based on the evidence, it's 100 different factors of puppet pulling different puppet strings. For them, he was the chief of police in North Carolina. The wife, I forgot what she was, so a nurse or something. And they set up a networking militia group, which is perfectly fine. They go out and they shoot guns in the middle of nowhere and they know how to survive. They can make fire in a couple of sticks. I mean, all kinds of things, which is good. It's necessary. However, to make money off these people, they took lonely, vulnerable people and let's go to the insurrection. Let's cause heck and let's start fighting people. Same thing at a bar fight. I've seen bar fights. Yeah. And 100 different groups did this. Right? Now, were those people inspired by Trump or were they inspired by the couple in the networking group? But we're trying in because these groups are similar to the echo chamber going on in the horse race industry.
Or the other side. I mean, there's like you said, there's so many factors. And when you, one thing we read the other day, which I told you this a long time ago, I said, Josh, I'm having a hard time believing all the stuff from Wikipedia. So the previous founder comes out and says, well, Wikipedia is far left and blah, blah, blah. They don't have any Christian, any Republican, any conservative voice there. Okay, all I'm saying is if, in fact, that's your input, that's your data, I don't trust the data. And I have every right to not trust the data because I don't believe the sources. Now, we can argue till the cows come home about that. I'll tell you what's going to happen. I'll speak prophetically. What's going to happen eventually is they're going to find out there's a lot of left-wing people and a lot of stinkers that said, hey, what? You know, we need to plan something. We need to make this thing look like it's Republicans and conservatives and rednecks and Second Amendment guys and blah, blah. And it's going to come out. It will in time. Now, we'll be dead and buried maybe before it comes out because they'll never admit it. The problem well,
because the FBI has. That's the problem too, right? We talked about breaking Kavanaugh.
In the FBI right now. There's a lot of issues in the FBI, even in the rank and file. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on.
Well, let's get to what we do here. If we get to the root of it, the root of the problem with the FBI is something solved by brilliant guys, right? John Roberts and Brett Kavanaugh. There's a lot of leftist decisions that came out of the Supreme Court. Why? Because Pelosi, everybody said that Brett Kavanaugh was not going to keep his word. He kept his word. He called balls and strikes. Well, it's to the left. That's what the Constitution says. It's to the right. He's conservative, but he's doing a job as a Supreme Court justice.
That's and right.
He didn't know how to be a judge because a judge is right down the middle. No emotion. Right. This is what the law says. This is what the Constitution says. And thank God we still have a Constitution.
Yeah.
The piece of paper, but it's an important piece of paper with important concepts. They have developed over thousands of years that was extrapolated by George Washington and crew Hamilton, right? And that's what we're using, right, to avoid chaos. Because you need a reference point and call balls and strikes. Now, the FBI is balls and strikes. A guy from the right is going to conspire against the guy from the left. And the left is going to conspire. And you're not supposed to do that. You're your law enforcement. Not self-enforcement, your philosophy enforced.
Well, I asked
the people enforcing their philosophy.
I asked a question to an attorney. I said, let me pick on that point you just made. I said, okay, so we're gonna have Elena Kagan is gonna be a Supreme Court justice, right? She's an avowed lesbian and she is everything left, and she admits it and she posts it. Nothing ever happened to her. She was confirmed 100%. Nobody said boo. Brett Kavanaugh comes along. And some lady, Blasey Ford, basically says, he tried to rape me when I was blah, blah, blah. And the entire universe said, yes, he's guilty. Go take him out and kill him. He's no good pond scum. Okay, hold on, people. Hold on. 22-second sound bites don't make facts. You're entitled to your opinion, but you're not entitled to your facts. We've said this on the podcast many times. So horse racing, true crime, the same kind of thing. You're supposed to have arbiters of the truth that are supposed to be, air quotes now, objective. They're not objective. They're paid yes people. And this
right,
is
right. They're control freaks.
They yeah. are. They yeah. like being in charge. They right. like being in charge.
It's abuse of power.
It is. So, it absolutely is.
So abuse of power, we come to doctors. So the same problems are going down in one of the most corrupt organizations, and I only touch on it a little bit because it gets scary, right? We know how corrupt the NIH is. Mm-hmm. We were just talking about Cuba being a mafia organization. The NIH is a mafia organization. Mm-hmm. Today I was talking to somebody. If I gave the Chinese government $10 million, they would use Patriot Act on me, right? I would disappear. Nobody would know where I am. No due process. The United yeah. States. If I did that, NIH gave China $10 million to create COVID-19 and Delta virus. And nobody's in jail. So a lot of doctors go to jail. So my first experience in the healthcare industry, right? Because kind of the theme of this is how messed up veterinarians are in the horse research.
Mm.
So how messed up the healthcare system is. It has not changed in 50 years when I was born. When I was born, and you can kind of hear it tonight, it's kind of popping up with a respiratory problem that was going to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
So the nurses put on my birth certificate, Caucasian. So I would get extra care because the white kids that were Caucasian, birth certificate Caucasian, got extra care and were not let to die. So now fast forward 50 years later, which communities are getting the worst healthcare? Under Republican and Democratic administration, that same community. But here we have situational intelligence. Always tell the truth? No. I'm glad these nurses lied on my birth certificate to keep me alive and said that I was Caucasian so I could get extra care. How messed up is the healthcare system? Cuba is one of the worst countries to live in the world. We're seeing riots, but they have the best medical system. Why? Because Fidel Castro, for his own personal benefit, because he died with $1.5 billion he paid out to his family, he used science, he used testing to find out the people and personalities who were predisposed to the Hippocratic Oath. So whatever happened to the Hippocratic Oath? Do no harm, intentionally, repeatedly. So these cured 98% success rate with lung cancer. So as bad as Cuba is, poor as it is, if you have lung cancer, you should go to the United States, to Cuba. Now, that vaccine was sent to the FDA. What happened? Pharmaceutical industry found out what terrified the chancellor of Rutgers University. When the Cuban guy started telling his success rate and how they were doing it, and he was giving away patents worth millions of dollars, he was just giving away. He immediately called the FBI, but Rutgers, what they call it, Monster University. He's a straight shooter, but the chancellor at Rutgers, not only he didn't trust the FBI, he didn't trust the FBI to kill these student scientists because they were giving out information that was going to cost pharmaceutical companies $50 billion. So he called the U.S. Marshal. Right? So what those nurses showed, right, what the chancellor at Rutgers showed is that the highest form of intelligence, along with long-term thinking, is situational awareness. That's why corruption in local politics, why corruption in the horse racing industry, because you need to know your surroundings. Especially when something like COVID-19 can hit, or is every man for himself? At the end of the day, it was every man and woman for himself. Meanwhile, Dr. Fossey, everybody else, politicians in the American crisis were raising money, coming on TV, not to talk how you can keep yourself, but how, where you can send the money. And the same thing for the science festival. So Sarah Manfred, you have to have that situational awareness.
Yeah.
Right? So at the end, we're going to come up with five solutions. They'll, believe it or not, it's true because most of the things can be done now. The reason they're not being done are for political reasons. We got the science. We have the answer. I just specify the answer. And at the end, we'll go with five. But to this point, what are your thoughts about, you do some of this in your scope of work, testing, right? The white doctor, I didn't finish that story actually. The white doctor put me in a room. The janitor at the hospital, this is what's now the Scientology building in LA, Cedars of Lebanon Hospital, Los Angeles, California. The janitor was a doctor in Cuba. And he was so confident, so sure of himself, had networked the hospital, that they took me out of the regular room, and he took me to an operating table, and they did a legal operation on my nose for respiratory, It's not perfect, but I'm alive. That's how messed up the healthcare industry is, my Christine. What are your thoughts on this for you?
Well, you know, my wife has been a nurse for a lot of years. And so I was, what would you call that? Right up against it a lot. And I would go to different functions, meet doctors, meet nurses, and listen to them talk. And I didn't really hear a lot of talk about patient care. I heard a lot of talk about vacations and meeting the right husband and travel and how much money I could make. Not that that's wrong, But my ear was thinking, because I was an orderly in a convalescent hospital before I got started years ago, and I used to take care of patients. And I used to think I had a very high respect for medical professionals. And all of a sudden, as I would listen to these people and I watch these nurses, I told my wife, Mary Jane, one day, I said, look, if I ever get sick, don't take me to the hospital. Just bring me home, okay? You take care. I don't want to be there. I don't trust them, to be honest. Now, that's kind of a broad brush with a pen. And I'm sure there's a lot of doctors and nurses that are very professional. But we've gotten away, to your point, we've gotten way far away from the Hippocratic Oath about almost the Good Samaritan concept, taking care of people, don't do any harm, help them to get better, help them to get better health. And it's just messed up because of politics, because of money. You know, there's an old expression.
Power. What is this? Once you got money, what power. To that point, right? The third point. So I'm going to give you 5 points describing the problem. Give you two. Number three is, they've done none of the studies on doctor. Why did you become a doctor? In all those studies, there are around 5 of them, done by major universities, people with PhDs in statistics, 80% of doctors in peer-reviewed, evidence-based studies became doctors, not because of the Hippocratic Oath, but, right, because they like telling people what to do. Back to that cop, right, he's on the city council, right? As a cop, he tells people what to do. He wants to get involved in youth sports. And instead of being a coach, he wants to be the umpire. He wants to be in control.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of coaching kids football on the Pop Warner, he's a Pop Warner referee. You don't like what I'm saying? Get out of here. He wants to be in control. He wants to tell people what to do. Does he like youth sports? No. He likes telling. He's on the city council now because he wants to tell people what to do without having any knowledge for this. High school education. Your thoughts on that as it relates to, because the racing board, right, and the owners, because it's strange in horse racing, it's the owners, it's the horse racing board used as a pawn by the owners. The horse racing boards are doing a lot of damage by being like Scott Boyce and being like Picanha. They're being Schultz, right? Schultz will coach too. You're doing a lot of damage. You're getting a lot of horses killed and hurting the whole industry with the betters. The MDA has for long been a powerful organization. They've been paying off, let's say, legislatures and everybody for a long time, right? So for part of the theme that I'm showing is I am describing the problem. The theme is that things are already in place that should be enforced, right? It should be enforced because the healthcare industry is a mess. So let me know your thoughts on the MDA, powerful organization that knows how to pay people off and they know how to leverage the corruption and the corrupt intent of elected officials on all levels to assert their will for the doctors. And they're making a mess out of the healthcare industry.
So the NBA, much like the horse racing industry, generates billions and billions of dollars, right? And when you get to be someone like a LeBron James, you're a commodity that's hot property. And so I want to give every possible opportunity for LeBron James to advertise and promote my product, which is, in this case, let's say a sneaker, a shoe. Well, where do they make the shoes? They make them in Philadelphia. They make them in Los Angeles. They make them in Maine. No, they make them in China. What? They make the shoes in China. So all of a sudden what happens is, and very much like the horse racing industry, you get people in places with money and power and influence. And what you just said, I will tell you what we're going to do, Josh. Now, I don't want a consensus. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to make a gajillion dollars from these shoes coming from China to America. all the black athletes are going to wear them. They're going to promote them. So if you say anything about China, you're a racist because you're talking about LeBron James. See how it gets convoluted?
Well, the problem with the NBA is that there's no check.
There's no check.
You're talking about Nike. Great book to read, Shoe Dog.
Shoe Dog, yeah. It's
a perfect example of what I'm talking about. But Phil Knight, he intentionally wrote a $1 million check. Mike Christianese and I intentionally write a $1 million check. We know there's no money in the bank account. There's not going to be any money in the bank. We get the product and we sell it to Bill Knight, you go to jail. Phil Knight didn't, right? Because of selective prosecution. So now the MDA influences selective prosecution. Again, this is a perfect example of corruption not being a victim of crime. Because people say, oh, there's no victim here. There's no victim. All politicians are corrupt. There's no, yes, there is victim. And you see it every day. That's why so many people are shooting each other. It is a long-term consequence of corruption.
It is. It really is. For example, when I was a kid growing up, if you bought a pair of sneakers, you got PF Flyers or maybe you got Converse, okay? You got a pair of shoes. You had a pair of shoes for a long time. It wasn't until many, many, many years later the guys like Michael Jordan had their face and their thing on the shoe. A pair of shoes used to cost $25 are now $135, $155 for a pair of sneakers.
Well, the NBA, to really specify what the NBA does, it says that those shoes are safe when they're unsafe for the benefit of Nike, right? And not the benefit of you. And they don't change the script. They don't change the script on the local level. They do what's best. You're supposed to do what's best for you and the people around you. And you're so good, you can do that and still make a few bucks on the side. We don't care. But what they're doing is doing what's best for themselves and what's best for the front one. These are bandwagoners. They jump on the bandwagon. They're not the people that go in front, courage to fight. They are standing behind Goliath against David, yelling, talking junk. And the minute you hit Goliath with a rock upside his head, they start running. But you see him with a suit, with all these platitudes, these speeches, crying when the first responders come in the building, right? You're crying when the first responders come in the building. And during the pandemic, didn't give a first responder, not even one mask. Right? All right? These are the people we're talking about. These are the people of the MDA. That's why. Veterinarians and horsery. And that's why the healthcare system is so messed up.
Well, let's back up a second. Okay. So let's say I, as a kid growing up, I love animals. I love animals. And someone says, hey, Mike, you love animals. You should go into animal husbandry, fancy term for become a vet, okay? So I say, well, what does that require? Well, you, in a sense, you're going to be like a doctor. You're going to learn all about the body, but for animals. So I say, wow, that's cool. I can learn about horses and dogs and cats and pigs and chickens and cows, all of this stuff. So you get into that, and one day you graduate. Josh, we've been there. You graduate, and next thing you know, you become a vet, a veterinarian. And so a senior veterinarian, a guy that has a practice, says, Mike, why don't you come to work for me for a couple, 3 years, learn the ropes, and maybe you either take over my practice or you branch out on your own. Terrific. So for 3 years, you're under this umbrella of learning. You're an intern. Even though you're a veterinarian, you're an intern. And you learn all about ligaments and you operations and medications and this and that. And you go on night visits where a horse is born, a foal, or a cow is born, or an animal has to be put to sleep. Okay. But your initial motivation to be a vet was you loved animals. Okay. Fast forward 10 years. You're now a vet 10 years. You got your own shingle out. You get involved in horse racing. You get involved with a guy like Bob Baffert.
Okay. I keep giving you the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah.
Make your horse up. I would love to hear Bob Baffert's pitch to owners why he should train the horse. It's good, man, because he gets them all.
Absolutely. So you come on board with the Baffert Group. They've won Kentucky Derby. They're the most famous people in the universe. You feel like you just died and went to heaven. I mean, you've arrived, right? All of a sudden, a couple of years down the road, somebody comes to you and says, Doc, Mike, we need to spike this horse to win this race. And your first reaction is, I didn't get involved in horse racing to spike horses. But you do it because you're paid by the people that told you if you don't do it, you may not be working here or be alive. Think about it for a minute. So you do it once and the horse doesn't die and the horse wins the race. You go, well, that was okay. Then they do it again. Then again, all of a sudden now it's a habit. It's habitual. Next thing you know, you're now a convict. You're doping horses. Right. Why? Because you're a veterinarian. But I thought you got in the veterinarian because you love horses. Well, yeah, but the money, and I lost my compass. My moral compass got broke. That's what you're talking about. The corruption is because we don't have any moral compass. We don't have systemic racism. We have systemic corruption.
Yeah, it's systemic corruption, right? And then what I'm noticing lately, and this is another podcast, but the Black community, I've even participated. He's even done it a little bit. Nipsey, the reason I have Nipsey is because he was a good businessman. The glorification of corruption.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The glorification of corruption is getting a lot of people killed.
Yes.
Because it's corruption. So I'm going to go through my five steps.
Right? Oh, okay.
To fix and fund the problems.
Okay.
In the healthcare industry and in horse racing. From what I know now, we're going to dig deeper into horse racing. But the overview we've done, like 6 months reading, investigating, these are five steps that will clean things up. And it's not that I'm a genius. Some people know this a lot better, more intricately than I do. But like I asked, like a professor in Florida, I asked him, both Cuba and the United States have had the technology to make a hurricane-proof underground tunnel and a bridge from Key West to Cuba. It's only 90 miles.
Uh-huh.
Why haven't they done it? And the professor, economics professor Smart says, because 80 or 90% of things in life are purely political. Right? So if you don't get involved in politics, COVID-19 reminders, we'll get involved with you. Okay. So five-step solution number one, you hear it all the time, but there isn't the political will to do it. Remember, the law, I hate to say it, but it's almost irrelevant. It's what the judge wants to do. Congressman Charlie Crist, told me when he's Attorney General of Florida. Went on to be the governor of Florida.
Right.
Now he's running for governor again. Gets the same thing. He told me, Josh, good lawyers know the law. Great lawyers know the judge.
Right.
Justice and the law are distant cousins at best. It's a cultural proceeding. Oh, it's a court proceeding. 80% of judges are fools, people who could not do well in private practice, in a robe. Okay? So the first solution is obvious. We went through where Scott Voice, Mayor Lake Forest, fraudulently stole $150,000. This is Scott Voice in every city council. And every single county board all over the world in this country enforce the law. Do simple investigations. Right. My person, AC and I, we experience, we pay attention, we work hard, but we're not geniuses. We don't go to the operating table. We're not on Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk staff as rocket scientists. But we figured out that Scott Voice is lying and stole taxpayers' money that could be used for the pharmaceutical. And in describing the problem, I forgot one part. And it is that value needs to be taught all 4 years of high school.
Yeah.
And have a chart and teach people what value is, a psychological fact plus functional fact divided by time and money. And each president has done something, but it's like the extension of the voting rights right. Why not make it permanent? The voting rights is that Black people, minorities, and women should be allowed to vote. Why are you extending it? Why aren't you making it permanent and get it done and over with? What? Because you have to have a standby, something to fill it? Well, let's go with the voting rights. Let's extend the voting rights again. Why not make it permanent?
Exactly.
It's absurd. It's absolutely absurd.
So you're saying the first step is to enforce the law. It almost sounds like common sense.
Yeah, the books.
Right? I can't believe it. Enforce the law?
Enforce the law.
Enforce the law. And yeah. why do our lawmakers keep making new laws and changing new laws and blaming old laws? I thought your job was to make laws and enforce them. Did I miss the step here?
Well, look at Lake Forest. 51% of the $86 million budget goes to the Orange County Sheriffs. And you get overwhelmed, right? You talk about generals, right? We're the ones with the gun, really says, right? So you notice that everybody's willing to overpay for law enforcement. And defunding the police was wrongly worded. What it needed to say is, it's because these people don't have experience on the street. They live in these ivory towers. They live in these gated communities. They don't know how to talk. The way you say it is, four cops roll up, right? And for me, it's four cops rolling up on me, right? Doing a stop and frisk. You fit the description of a person who's committed a major crime. We have to kick you and beat you up because you kind of look like this guy. That's what I'm talking about, right? Hey, I survived it. Whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Stronger, right?
So four cops roll up on you. Now that we use science, overall macro use, it's the healthcare industry, for Christ's sake. It's veterinarians, the horse racing industry. Use common sense, please. But you don't.
Is this number two?
Yeah, it's number two.
Use common sense. I'm writing these down, Josh. This is good stuff.
Number two is four cops roll up on you. Make it four cops and a psychotherapist. Three cops and a psychotherapist walk into a bar, whatever.
Right.
Right? And Picanio said he was helping with mental health. The guy that knows everything, right? 15 years in the Marines, 50 years as a cop, high school diploma. He says he's helping with mental health in the home. I said, no, you're not. My wife's a psychotherapist. She has an advanced degree.
Right.
And these people are writing her letters, thanking her for saving their lives. How many letters have been written about you, right? And that's just common sense. It's math, too. It's pattern recognition, right? So that's what defund the police. So as business concierge and consultants, you make a lot of money. Where I'm going with the value is, it's a huge problem where everything in the healthcare industry, same thing with law enforcement, city councils, and law enforcement, they overpay because it's healthcare. I don't want my mom to die. I don't want to, everybody overpays. People are overpaying up and down the board. People need to be educated and valued. And value cannot go out the window when you're talking about law enforcement.
Yes.
And you're talking about pharmaceuticals.
Yes.
Right? But cancer drugs. Cancer is supposed to be cured in 5 years, right? So where I was going with it, with the COVID vaccine at the FDA, right? Communists don't know how to price things. So the COVID vaccine cures 98% of the cancer. The American vaccine, which is supposed to mirror the Cuban vaccine, right, cures 48% because of the MDA. They're looking out for major pharmaceutical companies, and they're not looking out. And it's not even looking out because all these people are already rich. It's power. They want to have the power to do it. Right. They're drunk and they're crazy with power. So, simple solution. Abide by the original. Remember how I said about the original. Something starts. Original is good. Hippocratic oath is good. Everybody stood up. People that want to be in, they put the right hand, and they right. Do no harm. We need to get back to that basic. Civil rights movement started with Martin Luther King. Right now, we're at Al Sharpton. We need to go back to Martin Luther King and do something as simple as the Hippocratic Oath. Use the testing, Fidel Castro did. Take your ego out of the way. You hate Fidel Castro. Use the test you use to pick people who care about mess. Sometimes, Celestine Frost, the greatest book I ever read, it says that sometimes the most complicated problems have a simple solution. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's the, remember, this is six in funds. Josh, where are you going to get out of the money? From the $1 trillion being stolen by local government. Put that $1 trillion in the healthcare industry and teach people value. Do an independent study yourself about it. It's the most educated public in the whole world. And boy, a lot of pharmaceuticals and things in the pharmaceutical industry will suddenly become very affordable without a government solution. Government solution is a cesspool. It doesn't go in front. It's not putting a cart in front of the horse. Yeah. First, right? Because it's the richest country in the world. Richest country ever, right? Private solutions work. And this is a way you put the horse in front of the cart and start with private industry solutions.
Now, is that number three? Right. Is that the third solution?
So you have Hippocratic Oath. You have enforcing the law. Imagine that. Up in that Medicare fraud. There's so much Medicare fraud. Not even funny, right?
Absolutely.
Because of the doctors being wrongly recruited and the wrong motivations being in the industry, it leads to what? Corruption. It leads to fraud, right?
Okay, let me stop you right here, because here's a point that we should make for any viewer or listener trying to figure out what the code is here. Look at the people that are of Asian descent. They tend to be, this is a generalization statement, they tend to be more smarter and a little more scientifically oriented, correct? So they get into engineering, get into medicine, they get into those areas. All of a sudden you have laws now in America that says, well, Asians, that's not fair. I mean, we need to do things for underprivileged and underutilized or underrepresented. Wait, time out. Don't you want aren't you talking about the best people, Josh? Aren't you talking about you, the best people? Do I want a doctor who says, you know, I really don't care about you. I need to get paid first before I can give you any medicine.
Right.
Wait, hold on, doc, I'm dying. Well, yeah, I know, that's too bad. How are you going to pay me? This is what we're doing. We're getting the cart and the horse backward to where the cart is going this way, the horse is going the other direction. And so you're talking about private industry solutions. God, absolutely. I can't tell you how many times take, for example, oil rigs and oil fires down in, let's say, Texas, Oklahoma. There was a guy named Red Adair years ago. Red Adair would come in for a fee and say, I'll get that thing done for you in about a week, but it's going to cost you $350,000. Wow, how so much? Because I know what to do and how to do it. He'd go in there and get the thing done. Now, just like when they were going to rebuild the San Francisco Stadium after the earthquake, right? They were having all kinds of trouble with politics and money and this and that. And the guy says, look, time out. I can have this thing rebuilt in about 8 months. Here's what's going to cost you, but you got to get all the regulations of the government out of my way. Guess what they did? They did that. Guess what happened? Boom. Candlestick Park was rebuilt to whatever stadium is called today.
Right.
So what you're talking about is enforce the law, one. Two, use common sense. Wow, that's amazing. Three, private industry solutions. What's number four?
Okay, so you got force the law, stop the NBA, right? Stop the culture of doing what's best for the pharmaceutical industry. And their influence with the FDA. It really goes back to the, you know, really doing a good job of enforcing the corruption. Taking that money out and putting it back into lower drug prices.
Okay, that makes sense.
Third solution is testing doctors. And getting the right people overhauling the industry. I think nurses do a better job than doctors. There's far better high-quality nurses than there are high-quality doctors. Sometimes nurses know more. So allow for C2A to loan insurance. Make it legal for the nurses to get with it. They know the good doctors in the hospital because they work with them every day. Allow for nurses. Empower nurses. How about empower most women nurses? How about empower women? Empower nurses.
Okay, I got to have
situational awareness and situational intelligence.
I got a testimony to that point. So my wife used to work ICU, CCU, and she used to work nights, right? So she'd work 11 p to 7a. Okay, so 3 o'clock in the morning, the patient has a problem. My wife says, I know what to do. I have to call the doctor. She calls the doctor. I'm going to do blah, 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 blah. That sounds good. Okay, bye. What did she just do? She just saved the patient's life. She played the... Now, you know what they tell the nurses? Be careful. You don't want to get sued for practicing medicine.
Right.
What do you think we're doing here at 3 o'clock in the morning? You think we're playing chess?
Well,
and I just called.
Do their job. It's a common situation. If in good faith, nurses take doctors out of it. Get doctors to get that test. It's going to take a while, but it has to be done. It has to be started. For monetary reasons, right? Everybody talks about Medicare for all this and that. Before you go the Medicare for all route, let's go. What did Kelly say? First things first. Let's, because you don't have, you want to be scientific, right? Garbage in, garbage out. You don't have valid data. We don't have doctors what they're supposed to do with a Hippocratic Oath. We're not enforcing the laws. I don't know what we're enforcing. We're getting ready for some murder. We're getting ready for some murder. No, only six. That's why this horse racing true crime. We're getting into murders that happen in the horse racing industry.
Yeah.
39% of murders are never solved. And remember, this is the biggest part of the budget. Why is the biggest part of the budget not getting results? All right. So, all right. Number five, we're close to this and let you know your thoughts. Is the best medicine is presented this in the Kaiser model works.
Right.
Test people. Do your research. Go back and do your research on everybody's body. When you go for your anal checkups, they're not checking your DNA. They're extracting your DNA. They're coming up with your profiles. And you got to do your part too. You're not doing the basics because we're overeating. You're a victim, right? You're a victim because you don't want to, the healthcare industry is wrong or whatever, because you're doing meth every day. You're you're losing your temper every 5 minutes, raising your blood pressure, screaming at people. You're a victim. Yeah, I'm sorry. Kaiser model in all things present as medicine, right? That will solve, in my humble opinion. Yes, I've been asked to speak on this, but in my humble, that will fix around 80% of the problem. What are your thoughts, Mike Christine?
Well, your idea on the Kaiser model working is because their theme, their language is thrive. What does that mean? That means patience. Thrive. If the patients thrive, the system works up and down. So systemic success, because the patient care is primary. And that's the key you're talking about. The other thing about, and especially in the horse racing true crime realm, when you have people that get, we talked about this, they become veterinarians, then they become successful, then they get sucked up into the Stronach machinery, right. Then they get killed because they got to be spit out because they were going to squeal. So one of your issues here is, you know, start testing the people, vetting them. How do you vet someone?
You're going to do for doctors in the healthcare field the same test, unfortunately. And much is we want, because there was a point in time where I disagreed with the whole philosophy of PETA, underlying philosophy. But I liked that they were out there. I liked that they were passionate. And I liked, and I was wrong, right? Things that you do about Easter Bunny, Santa Claus type stuff. You get as an adult, you find out that you were 100% wrong. PETA is MIA on this. And you got the money. All those people are very, very rich. To the left, and he got more money than he got. You know, Pelosi's family is the Biltmore family. Nobody has more money in this country than Biltmore. I don't care if you're Gates or whatever. So today, you have to do the same type of recruiting, and you have to get people that are successful. I mean, Josh, what do you say? What are your suggestions? People that are in chaos, and I don't care how much money you have. If you're a ghetto, right? The people put with black people, or you're white trash with people with white trash. Your life is chaos. If you're hiring secretaries because you want to screw them, now you're in an area, you got four wives, 15 kids, you're very successful to the Stronach family. Same thing when you're voting for somebody. When you're voting in a local election, make the determination if that candidate is under financial stress. He's just going to take unnecessary risks the way he's taking to put himself in financial risk. Or the person should be in financial risk, or they were in financial risk for a time. And now they got two Mercedes in the driveway. Now they're running for city council. Are they part of some group? I went to the city council meeting, Picanio, right? 15 years, Coach Mike says, listen a few. So when Picanio, I know he's an idiot, but I was listening. For more entertainment value than anything else, but you learn a lot too. He says 15 years in the Marines, 15 years a cop. So he's crying, saying that he's a victim. He's a victim because his wife and daughter had two Mercedeses and he stole $150,000. He steals $150,000 through fraud, which we proved, and he's a victim. So some guys come up defending him. People who defend this guy, obviously they're part of some group. Something's going on. He says, well, first guy says, I started out in the Marines 15 years, and then I was a cop for 15 years. He sits down, and this guy comes down. And they just say, oh, Scott's such a great guy. I can't believe you're doing this, Scott. And, you know, all right wing guys, Republican guys, military guys, wearing all the hats, all the, you know, make America great again. But then saying this guy's a victim. Because he stole money. All right. So here comes the other guy. He says, 15 years in the Marines, 15 years in as a cop. You all got to be part of something. It doesn't have to be nefarious. It could be a drinking club, whatever. But they all have the same source. Or another element. That's the thing about, just because we see all white people on January 6th, does not mean it's diverse. There are 100 different groups with 100 different motivations and 100 different reasons to be there. Some of those groups are January 6th. They're very good. What we're asked, us as a society and elected officials, to be as organized as the Proud Boys, to be as organized as the 3%, as military, because they know the type of people to recruit. They need to be part of a group. They need to be part of a militia. Vulnerable people. Same thing with Nazi gangs or any gang. Same thing with black gangs. They look for certain sexual predators. They look for profile. We're looking for the Hippocratic Oath versus a prostitute, or in this case, someone who is willing to be muscle for a corrupt purpose because they don't even know whether it's corrupt or not. They're just what Coach Mike and I would call an S in the disk profile, or C, compliance. Oh, the Constitution is being violated, right? So we're asking to do this for Hippocratic Oath and the Hippocratic Oath for horses. That's what you need in the veterinary. So the Sharonis family comes in. The guy is married, is single, but his life is in chaos. That he's willing to sell his soul for a corrupt purpose.
Under the guise of I'm going to be happy, I'm going to be fulfilled, I'm going to be made whole. That's the big delusion. That's the lie.
Well, this is a big lie, too.
Yeah.
That what somebody else does not affect you. There's a greater good, right? Sure. And so, Kenya, and go to Kenya. We're all interconnected. What you do affects me. What I do can affect you. COVID-19 started in China. We're all interconnected. And Pekin, who knows everything, doesn't need a mentor, doesn't know that. The other thing, asking, and what's interconnected? And I, to my credit, younger man would have mocked him. But to my credit, I said, interconnected means that when you do something, it might affect me. And when I do something, it might affect you. So nobody, no matter how much you try to isolate, the Unabomber is a perfect example. No matter how you try to isolate each other, we're all interconnected. So the greater good is a good personal, even a selfish business practice.
Huh? No, that's true. That's very true. The thing that gets me most of the time is, and I'm glad you're referencing the listening, because when you do listen, sometimes you hear some pretty hard, stupid stuff. And you don't want to laugh and you don't want to judge. So you start asking Mr. Hand questions like, how did you arrive at that belief system? Or who taught you that? Or when did you learn that? Now, here's the issue with the, what's his name, Robert. Okay, so he's been working for the government now for 15 years plus, that's 30 years of government employee. He's told what to do and when to do it. I didn't say he was a bad employee. He's told what to do and how to do it, when to do it, where to do it, why to do it, okay? Do you think the human mind likes that? You think we like that? No, we want to be in control. That's why people get on boards, Josh. That's why people get on HOA boards. That's why they get on horse racing boards. Why?
The same city councilor, same people on the HOA board. Literally.
Same exact people. They're little gods. And they, by God, can tell you with a push of a button or five lights, you're done. Next toast. They didn't listen to you.
The building in Miami, right? Perfect example.
Yeah, exactly.
People on the HOA board who could care less about anybody else, they just, well, that's a great analogy that we're going to steal. Some doctors are people these two. They don't care about anybody else. They just want to tell people what to do. They want to be the hall monitor.
Exactly right. I'm going to push this button and you're done. Next. And they didn't listen to a thing you said. Now, behind closed doors, they'll say something like, you know, that guy Josh made a lot of sense. Well, thank God we got the button on him before he got too far gone.
Right.
And the problem with the citizen-led movements, we do have solutions. What did you say? You know, use private industry, use common sense. That's who we are as American people. But unfortunately, that's getting squashed day by day.
We go Medicare for all, right? And people that want to fund medical for all, you got to start here, right? Bernie Sanders, as much as I love Bernie Sanders' initiative that he was going to fix the VA.
Mm-hmm.
He even agrees with me. The first step in fixing the VA is fixing the corruption. He hasn't done it yet. Hopefully he does. But that's the first step. And the money from the corruption of the VA will fund the whole VA. From the whole thing, 100%. So before we go, Winston Churchill, what are your thoughts, Mike Christine?
Well, I know that people watching or viewing think we're a little bit idealistic. We probably are. We're probably a little bit old school.
In this case, we're not, because this has been done before. We're not proposing anything that hasn't been done. Societies that clean themselves up from a corruption.
That's right. We're appealing to the good in people to say, look, do this for the greater good. In other words, I'm going to use a word that's going to be a curse word to our listeners.
Do what's best for yourself and those around you.
Well, but sacrifice. Sometimes you have to sacrifice. What are you saying, Coach Mike? You mean I can't be with my phone for 12 minutes? Yeah, you can't be with your phone for 2 hours. What? There's no hotspot. There's no Wi-Fi. Time out, people. There's bigger fish to fry in the world than not having a hotspot for 2 hours.
Right. Oh, yeah, that drives me crazy. I remember not having internet or a cell phone. Or it's amazing. When I first went out to live on my own when I was 19, 20, it was amazing how well we communicate. People leaving notes on your door before you go. The girl stops by to know you're there. And she puts a note on your door. That's great communication. Right? Oh. I got a message. First text. That was the first
thing. Here's my number. You know?
Right? So, any more last thoughts? That's it. Well, we'll close with the Churchill. Right? It's to that theme, and this theme is at the core of the stories we are telling in horse racing, true crime, and the veterinarians. They're integral. Now, next we're going to give you, we're going to do some extrapolation, right? Mm-hmm. And extrapolation is maybe a lot of money, but I learned it in an English class, which is extrapolation on top of extrapolation. Mm-hmm. We're going to learn about a specific story about a veterinarian who's in an FBI indictment with that fool that's really like Pequeno of the cop, right? People repeat themselves.
Yeah.
And that FBI indictment with George Navarro. But George, with the Churchill, we make a living from our labor, but we make a life from what we give. Thank you for listening. I'm the best.